You are the man now, dog. 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 You are the man now, dog.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're the Man Now, Dog, : The Big Check-In, with me, Dan Lippert.
And me, Ryan Rosenberg.
You're on our Patreon, which means you know what you're getting into here. It's the Improv and Conversation podcast, but today is conversation. Every other week, Ryan and I check in and see how we're doing while we are under the safe at home directive.
Yeah, the government has got us lied to and is making us stay inside right now, and I'm tired of it. When are we opening up the salons?
Look, you obviously need a haircut.
When are we opening up the salons? This is what happens when you don't open a salon up.
Look at how ugly I have to be now.
That's what happens when the salon's not open. You got to cut your own hair and look at yourself.
Look at my face. It's uneven here. I'm so ugly because of the liberals. I'm ugly now.
It's the liberals' fault that I'm ugly, and they can fix me.
I had a nice conservative life going on where I would get my hair cut and get shaved, and now the liberals made me ugly, and Trump, a man who's not ugly, can fix it.
This is a great take. Ooh, Café du Monde mug. Dan, how you doing today? If we're checking in, how's your OWB, your overall well-being?
I'm pretty good, all things considered. I think I've locked into a bit of a baseline now, a funky groove, if you will.
Yeah. We're used to it, right? We've sort of come to terms with the fact that this is the deal.
Yeah. I know about my threshold of information I can take in
before
I go a little crazy. I know how to shape my day a little better. Mm-hmm. I know like what makes me feel good, what makes me feel bad. And I have found the diagnosis for all the random health problems I've been having. So I'm feeling good about all that.
So the diagnosis has given you some peace.
That's peace, yeah. Peace
of mind.
I had acid reflux, which we might have talked about, but I've never had it before. Mm-hmm. And the symptoms of that are like chest discomfort. This is a weird time to have chest discomfort for like 2 weeks.
Right. Did you have to take Rolaids? What'd you take?
No, they put me on the prescription version of Pepcid.
Ah.
And Nexium.
Interesting.
So not the old classics. Tums were a big staple of my dad's diet, but no Tums in the prescription.
Right. I don't know how often they prescribe Tums.
Yeah. I didn't even know they prescribed Pepcid. No.
Right.
But he prescribed Nexium, which was just go get it from CVS.
Gotcha. Well, that's nice that you got a little reprieve. And are you feeling better? Do you feel like once you knew what it was, you started to feel better as well?
Yeah, it's the psychosomatic nature of all of this stuff is fascinating to me now. I also was having pain in the pelvis area.
Okay, we all know what he means by pelvis.
Above the pee-pee.
Sure.
I had looked up what that can be caused by, and some of the options were
erectile dysfunction.
ED was a big one, which I was like, well, I don't need that diagnosed. I could tell you I have that, doc. Or at least erectile non-usage.
Hey, DR, I got ED.
Dr. Ed. But it's some of the things that those symptoms are associated with were like lymphoma, which scared me, obviously, and some viral infections, and the bubonic plague was one of them. So it's like, fuck, do I have plague?
Yeah. It's good they put that on there just in case. You might have plague.
You might have plague. It could be bubos.
I think if you have the bubonic plague, you're dead. You're not reading WebMD. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to, it's valueless to put it on WebMD.
Yeah, welcome to the bubonic plague page of WebMD from heaven.
Yeah, yes.
This is mostly a
here's what you had, yeah. Not what you have.
But I finally ended up calling a doctor, doing a little telehealth, and that ended up being a minor hernia.
Mm.
So now I've got that going on. But again, once I got that diagnosed, the pain went away almost immediately.
Interesting.
It was like very persistent pain. I was thinking about it all the time. I was also pushing on it a bunch to see where the pain was coming from, to be like, is it here? Is it here? Is it lymph nodes? What is it? And so I was making it worse.
Right. Isn't that funny? You think you're like testing it, but you're really aggravating it.
Yeah.
That's annoying. I do that every time I have anything. It takes longer to heal because I can't leave it alone.
Yes.
I need like the cone, like a dog cone.
I needed a full body cast cone.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad you sort of figured those things out. Did you read that back pain book? Did we talk about this? It's all about the mental connection of like pain and whatever, mental pain and physical pain or something.
No, but I own it.
Yeah, right. I read the headline.
I think it's Sarnow is the doctor.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like that's kind of what's going on here. You found out what it was, you felt better. You found out what it was, you felt better. Like, it seems like there's some mind control over matter kind of thing.
I've always heard about it in articles and neuroscience classes that your brain is very like directly in control of some symptoms and the whole effect of placebos and all that. But I did not know it was going to like be that quick, literally like right after I talked to the doctor, it didn't hurt anymore.
Wow. Wow.
Now it does sometimes, but just not as much.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
How about you? What's going on?
I would say my OWB is pretty good as well. I feel like I found, I don't know if it's like a good routine, but at least peace with the fact that like I'm not going anywhere and we're stuck in here and, you know, whatever. I don't feel as stuck anymore. The weather has been really nice and even hot. And so I've just been outside more like around my house. We got a little glider for the porch. So now we have like a little rocking chair thing so I can sit right out there, look out at the world, but still feel sort of protected in my bubble. So that's been very nice. Been sitting out on the porch and had a couple of backyard hangs with the other people around the house. And that was nice. And yeah, it feels a little bit more normal. I would still prefer to go out and have a regular life and all that stuff. But I have come to terms with the fact that like this can be regular for now and that's okay. Talked to my family a bunch this week, did a little family happy hour like every Friday we do. And that was fun. Nice. Kind of doing okay. A little tired of like not having anything new, like not having anything new to talk about or whatever. Cause it's just like, well, what are you doing? Still sitting around?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like basically what we're about to talk about here. It's like between shows and food, that's about all the new stuff I'm taking in.
Right. I guess that's what's been sort of difficult is like I'm finding it a little bit harder to connect with other people just because it's like, what are we connecting about? You know, it's like it doesn't feel like in vain, but you're like, well, I know we can't go see each other. And I know like and I know nothing's happening. So it's just like. How we do it? I don't know. I just have been finding it sort of difficult, like tired of talking about the same thing. So then being like, well, I don't know what I want to talk about. I'll call you tomorrow or you know, whatever. So maybe that's been getting to me a little bit.
Got to insert events into your life. False events.
Yeah.
Well, you got this green screen. You got these lights.
That's right. Yeah. That's been the big thing. I bought a new camera and a green screen and lights and a bunch of basically like a home studio kind of setup that I have not really used yet because I've been assembling it piece by piece, but I have like almost all the stuff. So it's time to like actually sit down and write and make something. And we'll see. We'll see what that is. Hopefully, sometime soon. Oh, I don't like this pressure, but there will be some new stuff for Mandog on there from this stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Ryan Rosenberg green screen project.
Yeah, it'll be pretty experimental, pretty interesting. Should be cool.
We'll talk about it here, but you cannot ask about it. Nobody ask where it is.
That's right.
If it doesn't come up, nobody can ask where it is.
That's right. That's right. It's a fun thing that you may get as an addition, but it's not an expectation. I'm not allowing anybody to expect green screen work from me. It's a thing I'm doing in private in my room. Unfortunately, that's also where we're doing this from, and now you know.
I think it's about time for me to begin project new, like, workspace.
Uh-huh.
This is doing it for me, but every time I have to, like, squeeze in and kind of set it up every time.
Right.
And
it's a solution, it's a little bit... but it's not the setup. Right.
Yeah. But I don't know what, cause I literally have a, let's see what the space is here. It's probably like 4 feet wide space to make a little area. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And, like it can't really go into my room that far cause it'll block my closet.
Right.
So I just don't know what the answer is.
Is your closet two sliding doors?
Yeah.
So one of them is always blocked.
Yeah.
In theory, right?
Yeah.
So you could put your desk next to the door that's always closed.
Uh-huh.
Because you're like not spending that much time in that part of your room anyway.
Uh-huh.
But
the one that's always closed. Oh, but you can open both of them.
Yes. Right.
Oh, but yeah.
But you know what I mean?
See.
Like,
yeah.
You can never have both open at the same time because they like cover, you know?
Right.
It's tough. It's tough. Because your space is not tiny, but it's not like big enough to be multi-purpose.
Yeah, and it could be solved by a smarter person with space than me.
Right.
It's
well, you can Google that.
Unsolvable.
I think you're smart. I feel like sometimes you say that you're like, I can't figure this out. And I think you can. You just Google it or look at some plans. Or
I get pretty flustered, and then I order the wrong size thing, and then it all feels fucked. It's like, right. I'm sure it's doable, but. I just want someone to come in and tell me what to do here.
Right, right. Well, I think you should empower yourself to do it. I think when you do stuff, it's always cool. So I will, you know what
you.
I mean? Why not? Just take a swing.
Thank you.
Maybe
I will.
But I understand that stuff can be frustrating. I've spent, with getting all this camera stuff and everything, done the same thing of like, maybe if I just have a perfect workspace, maybe if that is all, you know, so I've just been like, twiddling my thumbs with like moving my desk and rehanging pictures and like just finding busy work to do that feels like productivity, you know?
Right. But these solutions have paid off.
Yeah.
You look great. This background looks good. I mean, the plants, I feel alive just looking at them.
Oh yeah. It's virile over here, but with plants.
Virility.
Virility. Life.
So I would say my overall well-being, I'm probably at a, I could go as high, and in this moment today, I could go as high as 8.
Wow, that's great. A solid 8.
And I do feel it's very necessary to add always the caveat that I am still aware of how much suffering is going on in the world right now. And it sucks, but and I'm trying to be present with that and also grateful that it's not the way it's affecting me the most is just that I have to stay home.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we have to. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I think everybody gets that.
Yeah.
And it's like an 8 with an asterisk. It's like for the current situation we're in. Of course, everybody gets what I'm saying. Great. Now I'll talk about my life. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. An asterisk 8. I think that's
asterisk
pretty good.
8.
I think I'm right there with you, Dan. I'm probably, just because it's morning and not much has happened yet, I'm probably a 7.5, but feeling optimistic. I feel like today I could get up so high as to an asterisk 9. And again,
wow.
Asterisk, I apologize. I get it. I know everybody's going through stuff. But yeah, why not, right? Let's go take a nice walk. Enjoy this nice weather. Remember that most of the world is actually a pretty safe place. Every day you're living is a cool thing. You know, you just got to be careful.
I've got a walk question for you, your input.
Sure.
So I've decided to start doing night walks. I did one a couple nights ago, the whole mask, what have you. And I have, you could call it irrational, but I've always had an irrational fear of walking around at night.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And so I rarely do it. Now I'm doing it and it feels a little safer because there's no one out, and also a little less safe because there's no one out. And like every a truck like U-turned by me, and I was like, all right, this is it. This is like the big kidnapping or murder or whatever.
Why do you think someone wants to kill you?
I don't think someone wants to kill me. But I think like, I think I do have it just like an ingrained irrational fear, of like, I'm scared of coyotes.
Yeah.
I'm scared of like a rabid, raccoon coming for me.
Right.
Just if something could happen, it is on my mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? Who knows what happened to you? Maybe you got chased by a coyote when you were like 2 and you don't remember it. And so, you're like, oh, the world is horrifying. Like, you know?
Yeah. So now the question is, how much should I weigh how crazy and scary me, a 6'7" guy with a mask, would look walking around with a cattle prod at 10 o'clock at night on the empty streets? It would make me feel much more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I've got my cattle prod, but it would probably be the weirdest looking thing that everyone saw that night.
It is much scarier. I mean, you're walking around with a weapon versus not with a weapon. Self-defense, of course. I don't know. Maybe if you could walk around with it in your pocket so that it didn't look like you were carrying a weapon.
I kept trying to figure that out, but it's very big. And the fear there is I would accidentally hit the button and tase myself.
Right in the old, you know, pelvis.
Hoo-ha. The old pelvis.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. And you don't want to walk during the day because there's more people out.
More people. It's hotter. Even at night, I guess I could just throw contacts in, but my glasses are getting all fogged up from breathing into the mask.
Right. Yeah, that's been tough.
Obviously smelling my own stink breath. Right. Heating up my mouth. Like, it just feels hot. I might eventually go for the day walks, but...
Right. I think the day walks are nice, but only if you can, like, go to a place where there are not a lot of people and you can feel comfortable, like, crossing the street if there's folks or whatever, so that you are, like... Because if you are uncomfortable with it, there's no reason in making yourself uncomfortable by going out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but I think there is a way to also go out and feel comfortable during the day and whatever. But it is probably important to like find what that is for you. I would walk with a. Here's my idea. I would walk with a hooded sweatshirt with a little pouch, like the kangaroo pouch, and see if I could your taser in there or your cattle
great prod, solution me. This is why I asked you, because I knew you'd have a solution.
Well, I'm crafty.
Yeah,
I'm crafty.
You got the blues.
Well, I think that's cool. I'm glad you're getting out there. I think it's important to leave the house, if for nothing else, just to like extend your like bubble of safety, like where you feel safe, you know. Like, the more cooped up I am in my house, the more I feel like nothing is safe. And the more I'm like out breathing fresh air and continually not getting the coronavirus, I think, the more I'm like, oh, okay, like, it's just social distancing. It's not like a, you know, I don't know, red gas in the air or some bullshit, like, which I can think sometimes with like paranoia stuff at home. It's like, no, it's mostly just like carried by people. Once it's like in the air and the sun hits it, I don't know. It's just not in my estimation, because I go out for like an hour every day, I feel fine. So it's interesting to like, it's interesting how mental it is, just like your hernia thing and your whatever. It's like the fear is in my head, regardless of what's happening. The fear is like coming from me. You know what I mean? So that's always an interesting thing to consider for me, is like how much of this is happening to me and how much of this is me living in my fear, you know?
Right. And it's like a prison of its own solitude.
Exactly.
The more isolated you get, the more it like feeds on that.
Yeah. 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 It's an interesting relationship to have with like the world, even, you know, like you were saying about like being scared of stuff and even you labeling it like irrational or whatever. I don't know that it's like irrational, but it is like confusing and scary.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, how do I figure this out? How do I deal with this? Because it's here. It's not something you can choose to turn off, I feel like.
It's a big lesson for me of holding and facing the feelings instead of letting them just exist and like puppet you.
Right.
Being like, what am I scared of? Literally play this out.
Right.
That I would get this and from a walk and die right away. It's like, well, there is a chance that could happen, but the more likely thing is you could get it.
Right.
And the worry is that you would give it to a lot of people, get it at the same time, and the hospitals will be overwhelmed. And that's the issue we're trying to mostly fix.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you really do have to go like, okay, what do I think? What am I thinking right now? I think that's like a useful thing, is just to go like, it's so easy to go like, everything is scary. But if you just go like, okay, what do I mean? Do I mean a walking outside of my house? Do I mean like the ultimate consequence, horrifying, but is everything that same level? Probably not, right? So like, what am I actually afraid of? What am I, what can I do? What can't I do? I think those critical thinking skills, especially in a time like now, are very important, so that we're not just like, Newsom said go outside, so I'm kissing everybody.
Right.
It's like, no, well, what do you think on top of the recommended advice? What do you think is safe right now? Like, are you thinking? I want to be around people who are thinking,
right?
Not around people who are just like waiting for the update and closing their eyes. Like,
Daddy told me no, so I didn't go out. And now Daddy says yes, so now I'm going to go crazy till Daddy says no again.
Right. Like, that doesn't make me feel safe. I would much rather have common sense. And I know you can't ask for anything from anybody, like, or like assume they're thinking like you are. But yeah. That makes me feel better, is when people are like, well, here are the precautions I'm taking. I've thought of it myself, rather than like, I listen to Fauci.
Yeah.
You know,
it's such a, with all the negatives, it's like such a good opportunity to reframe the way we all live our lives, take in information, process it. Like whether it's, not only do I hear the news, but I think about it. And also the stuff like the fear stuff, where it's like, all right, this is a very high and stakes intense way to think about it. But then how in the future, how do I extrapolate this to, I'm scared to ask this person out at a bar.
Right.
Like, what is that actual fear that they say no? And then what?
Right.
It's about it. You know, stuff like that, that is so controlling.
It feels silly to be scared of stuff like that after we've dealt with what we're dealing with now.
Right.
It's like, if you've been able to approach this fear, do the other stuff. No, who cares? You know.
Dipping back into overall screen time.
Yes.
So, do you think my screen time went up or down this week? And we'll keep in mind that I do not remember what it was last time.
Same for me. I don't remember and I don't care. I think ours both went up a little bit. I think, yeah.
You think both up? Yeah, I think up for you.
I think I was maybe at about like 4.5 or something, or maybe even 5.5. And this week, drum roll, I'm at about 5.01. So
501.
Yeah, 5 hours. Right. Well, 501 jeans, my classic favorite.
501 jeans is your favorite. That's the classic cut.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
a 511 guy.
Really? I don't think I know the cuts that much. I know Levi's 501 is like, you know, the classic sort of one that
basically
they tout.
The last thing I did before the pandemic was decide to learn about jeans and get some that actually were comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And 511s worked for me. And then the new jeans I bought became fully pointless.
Yeah, I know. I every once in a while I'll look at clothes online and I'm like, for what? For who? Why would I just give this money away and create trash? Like,
yeah,
it has changed my thinking on everything. It's like, as a consumer, all this stuff, it's like, I can't keep using shit that doesn't matter at all. Like,
no.
And it's a waste of my own time and money. Like, I have to go to work for the money that I make. Why would I waste it on like a dumb t-shirt that I just am not going to care about? I have 100 t-shirts.
Screen time wise, I am at 6 hours and 53 minutes on my daily average.
Okay.
My most used is Chrome, Messages, Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, Crossword.
Okay.
In that order.
Chrome, so you're doing a lot of research, reading articles, doing internet.
I wonder if the Chrome thing is from like having recipes open while I'm cooking or something, because I don't know what I'm doing on Chrome that much, but right. Yeah.
All the browsing, all the links,
yeah.
All the links you're clicking on.
A lot of linkage.
Yeah. Yeah, my highest day is like around 7, and my lowest day is like 4. So, yeah, I don't know how they got 5 as my average, but... I don't know. I don't feel that bad about it. I did decide to take those app limits off because I just kept going like, remind me in 15 minutes, remind me in 15 minutes or whatever. And I think it actually made me be on them more.
Yeah.
Because
the limits.
Yes. Because I was like, just one more, just one more. Like, I wasn't self-governing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't making the choice. I was like, oh, the app is, it will remind me again and then I'll stop. And it's like, well, if I just tell the app, no, there's no one watching this thing. So I took the apps off or the limiters off so that I actually like start paying attention, if that makes sense.
I think we've talked about this before, but a thing that just popped into my mind, RE, this and the app limiter and stuff, is it will probably always be more beneficial to me to go, what do I want to make sure I do in the day instead of what am I trying to do less of?
Yep.
Instead of like, oh, I got to get off my phone. I got to spend less time on this app. What do I want to do and make sure I get that done? And I think doing those things will naturally pull down the time wasting.
Right. Right. I also feel like every time I try to do something, instead of doing it, I plan to do it. And then I sort of get the rush out of the planning and then I don't do the thing. I'll like write down my new fitness plan or I'll write down my new diet thing or whatever. And then it's like, huh, why didn't I stick to that? Because the writing it down, I don't know, like already gave me the satisfaction of like, look how good I'm doing. And then I didn't actually like have to follow through on it, you know?
Like, I have heard that this is true.
Right.
That this, there's like a study on this for like the people who talk a lot about projects in the future that they're going to write.
Right.
Are the ones who finish them the least.
Right.
Because you, like you said, you've gotten the pleasure already of saying you did it.
Right. But you also hear the opposite of like, you have to speak what you want into the world. You have to like have the goals, talk about it, and then they happen. But I think it is a mix between the two. It's like,
I think it's the line between speaking what you want so you know it and can do it. And saying it in order to have said it, to be like, see, I'm doing this, like to get the, now it's a little different from what you've said, but like to get the accolades or whatever.
Right. It's almost like convincing yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look how good the plan is. Look, I can do this. I can do it. But it's like, you're praising yourself for the wrong thing, like for the thinking of it rather than the doing of it.
That's
how my brain works sometimes.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't wait to fill a museum with the first three pages of every planner I've ever bought.
Yes.
I
stopped using a planner I bought and took down a like whiteboard planner because I was like, these are just stressing me out. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I've written too much stuff in here and now it's too big of a task. I just need to like catch up one day at a time until I'm fully caught up with whatever's on my thing. And then I'll know what I want to do next, you know?
Yeah, one day at a time, baby.
That's right.
Now
so screen
how we
time's
doing?
Up and that's okay. We don't
screen
care.
Time's up. That's okay. We don't care. And we know how to address it if we'd like to, but we don't necessarily have to.
That's right.
Sleep time. How you sleeping?
I'm sleeping better. I moved my bed around. I was worried that I was a little too close to my air conditioner. It sort of whizzes right over my head, but I haven't had to use it that much yet, so it's been good. My sleep has been pretty nice. I used to sleep with the blackout curtains drawn, but I got like, because my window sort of goes into like the backyard of the neighbors, so I can't really have them open all the time, but I got this privacy glass stuff, so now I leave my curtains wide open. Because you can't see through the window, you know?
You got to send me this privacy glass stuff.
It's amazing.
Because I think I'm in the same, I want the same thing.
It's amazing. Because now I have my windows open all day, but it's like I still have, you know, the privacy of having the shades closed. I didn't realize how much having my room be dark was like such a bummer. You know what I mean? You're like, you don't want to be in a dark room. It sucks.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to be like on display in a fishbowl to your neighbors. So it's like, what's the solution? This clear window stuff.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you the link.
I can't wait.
So that's been nice. I feel like my circadian's been getting back a little bit because of like waking up with it being light in the room.
Light, another one of those things. It's just like, oh, I needed this more than I thought I did, but it's the same. It feeds off of itself when you're not getting it. You like don't want to go out. You don't want to. Gets worse every time.
Right.
Why
do we want to not live our natural lives so bad?
it's, I'll say it again, it's this consumerist mentality.
I agree. We're college freshmen.
I'm 8 pages into Howard Zinn's book. I love it.
And that's about as far as I'm going to get, and I'll talk about it all day.
I haven't even gotten to his writing. It's the intro by Noam Chomsky.
So I'm on the table of contents.
Which is fascinating, by the way.
Oh, it is. I'm so interested to see what is going to be in the book. How are you sleeping?
Do not talk to me if you haven't read Howard Zinn's Table of Contents.
You're just not on my level.
I am sleeping, I think, well. I don't know is the answer. So I guess not bad. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of happening. It's definitely the falling asleep is still a bit of a struggle. Not like in the sense of I'm just doing things until I'm so tired I fall asleep. I could be a little better again at not what I don't want to do, but being like, I would like to just turn everything off and be in bed and eyes closed and whatever by a certain time.
Right. Sometimes I'm like, do I want that? Because that's the only reason I'm not doing it, right? Because I don't actually want it. Mm-hmm. Like if it was the thing I wanted to do, I would just do it. So it's like, how do I get myself to want this? Or
right.
Like how I think do I, because if I force myself to do it against my will, it's not going to work.
Exactly. I want the benefits of it more than I want the act of it.
Right, right.
I want the idea of being a little more on schedule. If I do that, I'll wake up at a more reasonable time and feel a little more energetic and active during the day.
Right, yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're sleeping, mysteriously better. That's nice.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. And I'm still pitching this Nightwalkers idea. If we want to become people of the night, the slobs will take the night. Uh-huh. We'll rule it.
This is dangerous. Yeah, that sounds really nice. I think I've seen like videos of people and stuff out at night on just like the empty streets, and it looks really cool.
Yeah.
It just looks like really like, oh yeah, like so much space, and I don't know. It feels nice.
Now, this is where we get into probably one of my highlights of the week, and it was recent, the meal of the week.
Uh-huh.
Do you have one on your mind?
No, I'd love to get into yours. You're pretty excited here.
So I got this Instant Pot. I think we've talked about it on the air.
Uh-huh.
But I hadn't really figured it out yet, you know?
New tool. You got to learn the tool.
You got to learn the tool. And then I got this shrimp gift from my mom. She sent me some shrimp and cod and salmon.
Uh-huh.
And so last night I made myself a seafood pasta in the Instant Pot.
Really?
And it was spectacular.
All right. Oh, man.
And it was because it's almost the only dish I ate when I went to Italy last year. So it was nice and reminiscent. Everyone who listens knows that all the best thing that ever happened in my life was being in Italy. And I miss it all the time. and so I did that. Last night, a fun thing that's happening right now is our kitchen light is out, and it's an LED light that is like the wiring is fucked up, and we're not electricians, but we don't want an electrician we've never met coming into our house. So the kitchen's just dark at night, so I have to cook with a headlamp on.
That's kind of fun.
But it feels like half camping where you're like, everything feels just a little more chaotic.
Right, right.
But the nice simple pasta, butter, oil, chicken stock, spaghetti, shrimp,
do you cook the fish and then put the pasta in, or you put it all in at the same time?
Other way around. You put the pasta in first.
No.
You saute some garlic with butter and oil, and then you put the pasta in with chicken stock for 3 minutes.
Dry?
And dry. Or yeah, dry with the chicken stock. Yeah. Yes. Dry pasta. Yes. And then you throw the shrimp, the cod, the broccoli is what else I had. You put that in real
healthy
fast
boy.
And then 15 more minutes.
Nice. That sounds really fun.
Ooh, made me real happy.
A little butter and garlic. I mean, you can't go wrong.
It's all, I mean, that's the keys to cooking is just the, ugh. I was like, oh, I recognize this smell from Italy. And now I'm realizing it was just melted butter and garlic.
Right. Well, I've realized like if you are eating healthy food, you can prepare it however you want. If you're eating a burger and fries, you can't add extra bullshit because you're already eating fucking burger and fries. But you're eating like fish and broccoli, so you're like, yeah, put as much butter on there as you want to. Like,
yeah,
I can deal with that. That sounds nice. Did you save any or did you go whole hog?
I would have loved to go whole hog because it tasted so good, but I stuffed myself. So I've got at least two portions, one and a half to two portions waiting for me today.
Good for you. That's awesome. Well, I think my meal of the week was not so much food based, but it was our friend Drew's birthday this week. And we did like a Zoom birthday dinner where we all dressed up as some sort of character or weirdo and had a dinner over Zoom. We like ordered him steak and we all just sort of like had our own thing at home. And it was really, really fun. It was so fun to just like goof around with friends in costume. I, of course, was in my bald man wig, not this, a real wig, and I played the landlord. Who knows what that is? He was just a sloppy landlord. That was it. Drew was dressed up as not Hulk Hogan, but the guy who lived across from Hulk Hogan, who Hulk Hogan stole his style from.
Yes, Terry Hogan's childhood neighbor.
Uh-huh. Dan was a few different people in a wig, I think.
Yeah, I think for most of the time I was a Groundlings improv student named Lisa Kudrow.
That's right. That's right. Not the Lisa Kudrow, but the second one maybe.
Yeah.
Who was also a Groundling.
Yeah, that was a real blast. Drew is just a consummate host. He basically he had a little microphone and was just going around asking people questions about their character, and it was very funny.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. It felt like a real break from the whole thing. So I highly recommend it. Get a group of your funniest friends and do something in costume over Zoom. It was like a real break from like even being ourselves. You know, it was really, really cool.
What did you eat that night? Did you have a meal? You had that pizza.
Recall. Oh, yes. I got Pizza Hut. And the guy came when I was in my bald man wig and my roommate was dressed as Amelia Earhart with big flying goggles on. And the pizza guy came and saw us and didn't remark, but it was weird.
This isn't the craziest thing I've seen today.
Yeah. Not the craziest thing I've delivered to this house. We have the same guy. But that was really fun. Yeah, it was a fun time, and I was just really happy to get to do something weird and like big group style, you know.
It's nice to laugh, honestly.
It never hurts when you're laughing.
It never hurts when you're laughing. And it was just fun. It was like 2 to 3 hours, just truly like it's the same. It's social escapism, which is great, but it's like escape. It's like the same as going to a movie or whatever. You're just like, oh, this was nice to just like have fun for a little bit.
Yeah, I was truly like only there for those couple hours.
Very present.
Yeah, it was nice.
So meal of the week, Drew's birthday hang, my seafood pasta. Moving on to the watch of the week. What'd you watch this week that stuck with you? And this can be podcasts, music, TV, movies.
Right now, my watch of the week for the foreseeable, next 3 weeks, is just always going to be The Last Dance, that Michael Jordan and the Bulls documentary. I'm just so obsessed with it. We're doing a group watch with a few buddies.
We had a great new character introduced last week, security guard who played quarter tosses with them. It's the guy.
He was the best. Like the funniest hair. Also, like they introduce you to him like sort of at the what seemed like the end of his career when he was like a little bit older. And he sort of looks just like goofy. But then you see him earlier and he sort of like looks like a cigarette or like drug, like kind of tough guy.
Yeah, and he was like a Chicago cop.
Oh, really? I didn't
know that. I read an article about him afterwards. But yeah, he has like kind of a...
He looks like a sweet little like...
Yeah, just like a
goofy goofball. And then I saw the earlier pictures of him and I'm like, oh, this is like a rough and tumble something.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But yeah, that guy is who everybody should go for Halloween.
Yeah, he's going to be a big costume.
That little suit, that perfect wig, it's just great.
There's a photo of him and a bunch of dudes wearing like yellow security jackets outside of Jordan's car. And I guess Jordan Brand ended up like selling those yellow security jackets.
Oh, funny.
In the 90s, which look like they would have been cool to own.
Right, right. Did you have a watch of the week?
You know, I'm racking my brain. A thing that happened this week that made me feel good is... I've for the past couple of years become especially the past year, a big fan of this guy Jeff Rosenstock's music.
Yeah.
It's like very, there's like a catharsis to a lot of the lyrics and the music that I really like. And, I ordered, I've been wanting to buy their record, his records, and they were sold out. And I saw on Instagram, he posted the other day, it was like, oh, we found some more. So I ordered them, and then he hand delivered it to my place yesterday. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I mean, it wasn't like we became friends, but it was cool to just like see somebody.
Cause he's kind of famous and known and whatever.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. Like in that world for sure. So I thought that I've been watching, like he does Instagram live shows. He'll just like play in his little studio in his house. So I've been watching those a lot, which are really fun.
That's cool.
But those were,
how would you describe his music
records?
Like what genre? It's not like
I'm so bad at, but in the punk zone.
Punk, yeah.
Yeah, like he had a band called Bomb the Music Industry that was like kind of like punky with some like horns and some ska vibe to it, and this is more just like, I guess, punk.
Right. What were the albums you got? It was like Thanks, Sorry, and
Thanks, Sorry, like, which was a three or four record live album, and then one called Worry, which was the first one I fell in love with, which was like came out right after Trump got elected, and it has a very there's a lot, the like feel and lyricism is like a good mix of like fear, anger, but then like there's like some like love in there too, like so I think, I don't know, I liked it.
Right, that's cool.
So that's my watch of the week. I also, nope, that's it.
Great. I feel good about it. Yeah. Oh yeah. What?
Oh, I don't know if we really need to talk about this for that long, but Pulp Fiction was on last night, and I was thinking about, I think this is maybe the second time we've talked about Tarantino recently, or I have. Just like he's kind of become a little bit of a joke to me, as a human. But it made me remember, like, oh, this guy fully affected the culture so much.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is so iconic and so original.
Right.
In a way that I kind of forgot, because it's just become such a part of the way we like talk about movies.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
I don't know when you saw it, but it's so, it's such like an interesting, weird movie to think of somebody's first
totally. And
second movie that they directed.
Totally. I think it's a weird thing that happens with a lot of these artist folks, is like the thing that we like about them is that they like break convention constantly, but they're weird. I mean, they're fucking weird, and that's why they're comfortable breaking convention. They're like, I don't want to make something that everybody likes, and that's how I want to be seen. And it's like, well, after 20 years, you start to see how that person is actually weird. You know what I mean? Like, what I like about them is sort of the thing that you've sort of maybe end up not liking about them at the end. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. They kind of like making people feel uncomfortable, you know? And like, that's really interesting when it's safe. But then once they get really comfortable with it, we start to turn on it. I feel like, if like, oh, quit it with the feet stuff, dude. Or,
you know, even watching that, my roommates and I were like, oh, there's a lot of feet in this movie that we didn't even notice the first time we watched it, that now is very funny to think about.
Right.
But I do like that way of thinking of it, of, because it relates to the Jordan documentary too.
Totally.
Just the persistence of, we really like someone who is so exceptional that they totally see the world differently. They change the way we see it.
Right.
They're impressive. They're different than us. And then we fucking tear them to pieces once we get to know them.
Right. That's why everybody loves someone who's on the rise, and then they hate you as soon as you're there, because like, you're not the hustler that they identify with anymore. You're like the oppressor that they feel oppressed by. And it's like, well, how did this happen?
Yeah.
you got me here.
I didn't change.
Yeah. Right. It's a weird kind of scary thing of like, you just get praised for something, I don't know, small, but like for a long time, and then it amplifies and you're like, oh, nobody wanted this.
Yeah.
It's a weird
important thing to realize that both ends of those are meaningful, but neither of them matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like the early, if you build your whole life on the praise, that's bad, because then you're also going to have to deal with the hatred.
Right.
And I've definitely been on the hating end of all that stuff. I make fun of Jordan all the time. And it's like, well, he's...
Yeah. I mean, he was my idol growing up. And now I'm like, oh, the error of his ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was truly the only person I looked to for like how to be exceptional or good, which I'm like, oh, maybe that was a mistake.
Right.
We're supposed to learn how to be like normal and sustainable, not superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bizarre. We're such cool philosophers.
We are. Welcome to Cool Philosophers with Plato Rosenberg and Aristotle Lippert.
I like that. Maybe we'll have to do one side episode where we go with all of our dumbest, deepest, highest thoughts and call it that.
Dumb, deep, and high. Well, that brings us to, speaking of deep, everybody's favorite segment of these big check-ins, the big share, where we open up about something.
These have been really, really interesting and like thought-provoking for me. You know what I mean? I know I don't always have a lot to share, but it does make me sort of go inward and go like, man, what, who am I? What do I think?
And you can tell in people's response to it, the love has been overwhelming for the big share, the support.
I think it's just so thoughtful and people like seeing that because they want to be thoughtful.
And it's risk. It's a big risk.
It's huge. It's, you know, we're laid bare.
So for me this week, I don't really have a big share.
That's okay. Do you think about one?
Which is part of the big share. What's that?
Did you think about one?
Yeah, I just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. How about you?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't have anything this week.
Okay, well, that's the big share for the first week of May 2020. Let us know.
I know.
I mean, you know, this is for everyone. If you've got a big share you want to throw out there, please feel free. I'm sure everybody
Please feel free to welcoming. Start. Please feel free to start.
Yes. Yeah, maybe it would help. But that was the big share, and this has been the big check-in. Any other big events of the week or
I feel good. Topics? Let's save it for the next one. Let's Great. Keep doing them, and I hope everyone else out there is doing well and doing the check-in with yourself and feeling good.
We hope you're doing well. Do the check-in with yourself. If you're on our Patreon right now listening, you probably already know all this, but don't forget to check out. We have videos of the episodes on Patreon. We're also releasing little happy tizers, little mini moments from our happy hour episodes with Talia and Victoria, and join the Discord if you're not on there already.
Yeah, join the Discord, rate and review us, share with a friend, or just, you know, chat us, drop us a line, say what's up.
Say what's up, or as we say, wazza. Well, Ryan, this was nice.
This was nice, Dan. Thanks for making the time.
Oh, thank you for making the time.
Bright and early. I love it.
We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye. Dog, you are the man now. Dog, you are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man.